Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You are listening to the Identity Theft Warriors. It's Kerry Lutz, and this is show number 30. We're getting close to Christmas and scams. Well, you better review the common scams, because we get so preoccupied with high-tech scams, you leave yourself sitting wide open to get hit by the conventional scams. No one knows that better than Heather Wagenhals, who is an expert in identity theft and protecting you from getting scammed. And Heather, welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back to hear your voice, but not good what I have to share with folks today about traditional scams that are cropping back up again.
Yeah. Well, everything that's old is new again, right?
Yes, and we just put interesting spins on it, it seems. And so we've been monitoring so heavily about the chip card scams and different credit card things, data breaches, and there are still some really good ones that are going on right under our noses that we're not aware of. And especially now that we're really conscious about our money during the holidays or making some extra money, we have to be extra careful with our bank accounts, because those are yet again another target for scammers.
Mm-hmm. So part-time work scams, is that what's going on now?
Yes, there's a couple of different ways they could do it, either through part-time work or if you use those online resellers, if you're an eBay shopper or a seller on eBay or one of those other types of auction sites, we have to be really cognizant of what's going on. So in the work for hire scam, you apply, you usually find it on a Craigslist or some sort of directory, and they say, hey, work from home, make full-time money on part-time effort. And they contract you. And this actually happened to my housekeeper's daughter. She just graduated from school and she was looking for a job, and she was having trouble in her field because it's kind of saturated right now as a medical assistant. And so she was just going to do some, you know, babysitting, home care, that sort of stuff. And she was contacted, and the woman was all excited and said, okay, look here, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a check. I need you to go cash it. This check was for $2,000. And then she said, and then you need to use the money to take care of my kids, to buy these things for them. And she kept saying, okay, when do I get started? When do I get started? She goes, well, let me know when you get the check. Mm-hmm. And then so she got the check, and then he said, okay, go cash the check, but I need you to send me some of that back because I'm short on my bills this month.
Oh,
and when she went to the bank, they actually said, the bank guy said, this is a fake check, and if you deposit this in your account, then you're going to be in trouble for fraud, because we don't know that you got this from another person. How are you going to prove it? Because the phone number was a bogus phone number, and it was a bogus name that they couldn't find or trace anybody's name. And the name that the lady was talking to was not the name that was on the check.
Oh my goodness.
she was really upset, because she was really looking for a job, and she turned down another job because she thought she had this one. So if that bank isn't savvy enough to identify that it's a fraudulent check and you deposit it and then give away that money, not only are you taking money out of your own bank account, because it takes a while for checks to clear, you know, 2 or 3 days at least for a check to clear. And if you send that money back off or give cash to someone else, and then that check does get returned, now you're responsible for that whole entire amount. So even if you only gave half of that away, you're going to lose the other half due to fraud. So that's something that we have to be paying attention to when it comes to trying to make extra money for the holidays.
Wow. And yeah, it just sounds plausible. Hey, I give you my confidence because I'm giving you $2,000. So give me your confidence. Give me $1,000 back and you're out the money. It's kind of ingenious. Yeah.
Another scam that's kind of going on these auction websites is that you get overcharged for an item, and they usually only allow you to pay with a check or a debit card. Mm-hmm. And if you type in your routing and bank information, all of a sudden there's all these little extra fees. You thought you negotiated $25 or $50, but now your credit card gets dinged for $75 or more, or they recur the charges. Because they have you use a separate pay system instead of the auction site's main payment processing.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's another way that you get sapped. So So since our chip cards are not protecting us from online transactions, and when we give over our bank routing and account numbers, I mean, it's done. It's over with. That access has already been cleared. But we have to remember that debit cards do not offer us the same protections that credit cards do. When you pay for something with your debit card, and I get sick and tired of all these gurus that say, oh, use debit cards, don't use credit cards, cut them all up, blah, 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 they're bad for you. Well, if you spend money on your debit card, it's gone. It comes out of your account and you have to dispute it to get your money back. With a credit card, you can dispute the item in question and not have to be obligated to pay for it until they prove that the charge is in fact valid. And if you don't catch the mistake on your debit card within 60 days, you're totally out the whole amount of money. But they can hold you liable for it. And again, once it's gone, it's gone. And you can't spend that money somewhere else. But with a credit card, if you use a credit card to protect yourself on a purchase, you still have that money in your bank account because you don't have to pay that bill yet.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Once they get the money out of your account, it's kind of at the bank's discretion whether they're going to give it back to you or not, right?
Well, they're pretty articulate about the rules. It's not so much their discretion. It's how articulate they are about it.
Yeah.
So in your subscriber agreement, because it's separate from your bank account, your cardholder agreement, even though it's only a debit card and it doesn't have a credit limit, still has its own subscriber agreement. And we have to read those carefully. I know it's on like Bible thin paper and it's microscopic, like 4-point font, but we have to whip out the magnifying glass and protect ourselves and be aware of it. You know, here in the state of Arizona, when you sign a contract or an agreement, you are acknowledging the fact that you agree to the terms, whether or not you speak the language, whether or not you read it, whether or not you read it and understood it is irrelevant.
Oh,
I
know.
You agree to it and you're bound by those terms.
Yeah, and then you're bound by any update that they send you, either by email or as a statement stuffer, Heather. It's the same thing. There's nothing you can do about it. Oh, that's part of the terms of the credit card agreement. Well, where did it come from? I never saw it. And, you know, that's what you
probably didn't agree to it either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really what we would call in the law an adhesion contract. You know, if you want the credit card or the debit card, you have to agree to everything that they're telling you or you can forget it. You know, don't have it.
Universal acceptance of terms. There's no negotiating.
Yeah, exactly. Try marking up that agreement, sending it back to them and see if you still get your credit card, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So those are a couple of things that we need to watch for. You know, another thing is this popular, I will wire you money and then you need to wire a portion of it to somebody else. But the bank wire, you know, doesn't hit your account. Oh, well, I sent it. Here's the confirm number. But can you go ahead and send that other wire first?
Oh, yeah, right. That sounds dicey.
And again, we're in a season where extra money because we want to, you know, overspend for the holidays and live for the moment. And instead of just saying, you know what, we're going to have to be more modest this year. We're going to have to be more creative. We're looking for ways to bring in new money. And because we're in that desperation mode for that extra cash during the holidays, we are less scrutinizing of the things that we participate in when we should be actually more hypervigilant.
Oh, that's so true. Hey, there's a lot of distractions and a lot of stuff going on during the holidays that make you less focused and make you a prime target, right?
No question about that. And it doesn't matter whether or not you believe in the holiday, the distractions are still there. You know, I reminisce of the days of Seinfeld when they had Festivus, it's a holiday for the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, and, but, you know, just like, for example, here in Arizona, you know, we got snowbirds coming in, people are traveling, there's just more people out and about. And so are the criminals, because that's where the money is. So they're out and about. They're not just lurking in cyberspace, you know, and so we forget about those old scams. You know, one way that we can protect ourselves when paying bills, especially if we pay bills with checks, because once you send a check, it's got your routing and account number on it. Yeah. But if you use online bill payment systems, they generate a particular key, just like these new chip cards do. It generates a unique number particular to that transaction that doesn't have anything to do with your account number. And that's another way that you can protect yourself this year.
That's a real plus. Very important because, you know, by having encrypted or keyed payments, if it is fraudulent, somebody gets in, you got much better chance of getting your money back. Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to remember, too, that business bank accounts do not enjoy the same FDIC insurance protections as consumer accounts do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those fall under uniform commercial codes. And so we have to remember that when we talk about bank accounts, we're not talking your business bank accounts. We're talking just your personal ones. And our guard is always let down at our business because we're trying to do what we do best. And we trust somebody else in our accounting department to issue checks and things. And sometimes, you know, it's not a big hit. It's not like somebody like takes $2,000 out of your account all at one time. You know, it's these subscriber things or these slight overpayments and residual billing where we can get caught up on our business bank accounts. And again, there's no protections on those.
Hey, what about that old business scam, Heather? They're still doing it just in different forms now where you get a bill in a business for yellow page advertising and you have no idea what it's for. And I once talked to a guy at the post office, an inspector there. He told me you would not believe the millions of dollars that get sent in every year by unsuspecting businesses for these fraudulent bills. I'm sure it's still taking place.
Yes, I get these ones from the U.S. Domain Registry is one that I'm constantly getting, and it's please pay your renewal fee. And I use a particular service, and I have myself on auto pay, so I don't goof that up. But let's just say somebody who's trying to be conscientious in the accounting department because you're busy doing what you do best, whether you're a doctor or a plumber or a lawyer, and you're out doing your field of practice, and they're just trying to make sure all the bills get paid, and it comes in looking like a statement, so it gets paid. Whether or not you wanted to pay it, your employee is trying to be on top of things and conscientious, and then you're out that money.
That's crazy. I mean, that's nuts. And these things happen all the time. They're always out there to get you. Hey, you know what another scam is? It's an amazing scam, but it's a legal scam. I noticed once bought a piece of property in Texas and went and I got inundated with companies trying to sell me for $50 or $100 basically a certified copy of the deed. Now, in this world, Heather, you never need a certified copy of the deed. It's just something you totally don't need. There's no need for it. And yet, there they were trying to get you for it.
Well, and usually you get one from your title company or escrow company, whoever handles the transaction. They'll send you one.
Uh-huh. But
for nothing.
Yeah, for nothing. And you don't need a certified copy. In fact, in Florida here, you can just go online and download a copy of it instantly. So there's never a need for it. No one will ever ask you for a certified copy of your deed because your deed, the copy that you get means nothing anyway. You and I know it. The one that's on file in the county registrar's office, and they call it different things around the country, that's the one that matters. You're just effectively getting a receipt, you know? I mean, it's absurd.
But, right, especially in this digital era, you know, everybody verifies with your county or local municipality's reporting office. They don't, and that's how transactions are processed because, you know, the deed is useless without a title search to see if it's clear anyway.
Yeah, of course.
If anybody's going to lend you money on it, and so there's no real need for anything like that. And again, you know, you're not paying for the certified copy. The way it makes it legal is you're paying for the service for them to provide you with that certified copy.
Yeah.
That's where the money's coming from, going towards. And, you know, I remember in the 90s here, like the biggest thing was, you know, $50 so somebody could homestead your property for you. Now, most states that offer homesteading usually do it automatically. And there's an automatic threshold on it here in Arizona. You don't need to file it separately. But I remember getting tons of mail for that in the 90s. That was the big one.
Yeah.
So again, then they can go homestead your property.
Yeah, which you totally don't need any of that. It's garbage. But they're out there trying to take you, I guess. So you have to watch out. That's the key. And hey, Heather, your show. How do we find your show, your website, and to listen to it?
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com. The latest in scams and frauds and data breaches alerts you want to find, plus ways to manage your money and your money buying better.
All right. Hey, and by the way, you'll find a link to Heather's site in the show notes to this interview. I suggest you go take a look at it. Really a lot of common sense tips to avoid you getting ripped off or defrauded. And take a look at financialsurvivalnetwork.com while you're there. Great information about what's really happening in the financial world, the political world, and societal trends, things you need to know to be prepared for what's going to happen next.
Heather, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Make it a prosperous day.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.